Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is a happy Sabbath. We're here. We have a place to meet. What a blessing it is. Well, you know, we're sure looking forward to the end of 2020. Everybody said, boy, I can't wait to get out 2020. Is 2021 starting any better? We have seen things we never saw before in our own country with the taking on of the Capitol building there the other day. Does it look like there's going to be peace? Does it look like there's going to be love? Does it look like it's going to be rejoicing? I don't think so. Sorry to say, I remember last week when on the program, Darris McLeely was talking about more about the end time things going to happen, and he talked about the whirlwind when the north comes from the, to the south, and the whirlwind are overtaking the south like a whirlwind. It's in Revelation 16:15, I believe, in that area. 15:16. You know what a whirlwind is? Can you imagine the north taking on the south as big as the south is? Now, you're talking many, many acres, many, many miles of a country and area. It means it's coming like a tornado from all sides. You can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. You can't run away from it. There's nowhere to retreat. Well, you know, I'm afraid our country may become that on ourselves. So don't be surprised at what happens to us. Because once God takes his blessing away from us, we don't know what's going to happen to this country. But you and I, we need to be prepared. We need to know that God is there. God has said if we're true to him, we serve him and love him, we'll be with him for eternity. Last time I spoke to you all, I talked about faith. Well, I don't want to go over faith again. I went back and got the dictionary, Webster Dictionary, back, an old one, just like me old, 1969. And here's what it says about faith. The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another. Firm and earnest belief or probable evidence of any kind. Belief in what is given forth as a revelation of man. A settle a conviction in regard to religion, promise given, in good faith, in real honesty, with perfect sincerity. This is what faith is in the Webster's Dictionary. Now, I got faith, I think it was out of, it's online, so I checked into it, see what faith said, and it was, I think it's what is it, WikiLeaks or Wiki something, what's the name of it? Tell me what it is. Wikimedia, thank you. So here's their thing on faith. In fact, it has eight things it tells you about faith. One, confidence or trust in a person or thing. Faith in another's ability. Number two, belief that is not based on proof. He had faith that the hypothesis of teaching of religion. Number three, belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion. Number four, believe in anything as a code of ethics, standards, or merits. Number five, a system of religion's belief. The Christian faith, the Jewish faith, and others. Number six, the obligation of loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, engagement, etc. Failure to appear would be breaking faith. Number seven, the observance of this obligation, fidelity to one's promise, oath, allegiance, etc. He was the only one who proved his faith during our recent trouble. Number eight, Christian theology. the trust in God and in His promises as made through Christ and the Scriptures, by which humans are justified or saved. So now we know how things have changed since 1969, a little bit from a dictionary. But it all comes around the faith that God has opened up to you and me. Because He has opened our minds that we understand there is something better than this life we live in, and that it is coming. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. You know this as the love chapter. And I want to go to verse 13 to begin with, and then we'll go back. It says, "And now abide in faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." I was going to give a three-part series starting with faith and then hope and then love, but because of what's been going on, I think we need to hear more about love today. The love we need for our God, the love we need to have for each other. But I am going to read about hope. I have the same dictionary, in Whippy Lee or whatever it is. I can't say it. Anyhow. So here's what hope is. Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on the expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. As a verb, its definitions include expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. Instead of wishing or hoping for something to happen, a believer knows that this, their hope is solid, concrete evidence because it is grounded in the Word of God, and we know God cannot lie. Now the other one about hope. Hope, a desire of some good accomplishment with least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that is in obtainable confidence in a future event. Trust, that which gives hope, the thing that hoped for, that you'd hope for. To entertain hope or indulge hope, to have confidence, to trust, to entertain hope for, to desire with expectation. We do have faith and hope in our living God. But I really want to go to the love of God and what love is. As we saw at the end of this love chapter, it tells you there's three great things: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest among them is love. And why is that? Because our God is love. And God knows and cares for everyone. And what God does is out of love. Just like you as parents, whenever we have children or family, we do things for them out of love. God is our Father. We are His family. He created us to continue to be His family for eternity. It is not to end here. He doesn't want us not to be in His kingdom. That's why He gave His only begotten Son, that not only you and I, who have been called to be first fruits, will be able to have opportunity to be in His kingdom, but that all mankind will have that opportunity. Many times we need to bring ourselves into God's realm of life as parents, because we are examples of God. We're in training to be gods, and God is love. You and I are to be full of love for each other and for everyone. And you know, in this world we live in, It's not easy. When you see what we see on TV, I'm talking about hatred. And it's okay. A family does not stay together who has hatred. The United States will not stay together with hatred. You know, families are torn up from inside, not from outside. When there's a force comes against your family or my family, guess what? You unite. You become a force saying, they cannot hurt my family. I will not allow it. But a family destroys itself because it comes from within. The only troubles we've ever seen in the church are from within. Whenever there's a break-off, it's not from the outside. If you remember back when the state of California came against the church, we united worldwide. We were stronger than ever. This can't be. We're praying hard. We're praying. You know, we're praying. And we're going to do all we can do to help the family so that they do not destroy the church. But since then, what has happened? Many breakups. Many divisions. It's all come from within. Someone has got more understanding. Someone is smarter. You don't understand. You should come with me. This guy did something wrong. Whoa, isn't that something? You did something wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. The person said that, they've never done anything wrong. I'm sorry, they have a perfect life, right? None of us are perfect. Christ gave his life so that you and I could be where we're at today. He gave his life, and he was perfect, that you and I can be here. So when someone starts telling you they know, and they know more than anybody else, please have a red flag come up. Please have a red flag when they start telling, oh, I know this and I know that and da, da, da. You don't understand. You know, God called you. God called me. He gives us the understanding we need. But if you listen in that little ear and keep listening to somebody, then you're going to listen and God will let you go. You know, it's like if you want to sin, and your desire is, and you keep saying, well, no, well, maybe not, well, no, no, I can't do that, oh, I can't do that, oh, I'm sorry. They stepped right out the door, and they sinned. You and I have done it. So none of us are perfect. What we got to stop is listening to the little ear thing that comes from either people we know or from Satan deceiving us in some way. That is not love. Love is keeping the family together. Love is helping one another. Love is caring for one another. And that's where we always need to bring it back to our own little family sometimes, so we can make it understandable. Because sometimes, you know, when it's real big, we got to get the picture down a little bit closer, and then we can understand it and go out to the big picture and understand where God's at. Because he's so far above what we do. And his thoughts are so far above our thoughts. We're not going to be there until we make it. If we finish the job that he's called us to do, we're going to be in his kingdom. We're going to have things opened up to us we had no idea. We could never even imagine as a human being. And yet mankind thinks we know it all. And that's why we have those who are atheists, and that's why we have those who are, you know, different religions, how many hundred and some religions we got going on, you know. So all these people are right, right? No, there's only one right way. That's God's way. And you and I have been privileged to be called, an opportunity to be a part of that. So we need to understand in our lives what we need to put in our lives more. Our God is love. So we need to have more love in our life. With more love in our life, we will have more faith. We will have more hope. And guess what? We will have more deeds. Good deeds. Loving and caring. Protecting the family. Helping the family. We're the family here in Dayton, Ohio, that's been called. And I hope we count that as a blessing every day. I've been to church 50-some years, so I made my fair share of mistakes. But the one thing I knew, it was David Hemsley that made the mistake. It wasn't anybody else. I'm responsible to God for what I do. And you are too. And for me to point out your mistake, that's a sin on my part. Because you see, I'm not righteous either, except for what God has in me. And neither are you. God wants us to become righteous. God wants us not to sin. And we work on that daily. And if we continue to work on it, and when we sin, we repent immediately, God forgives immediately. And there again, bring it back to your family so you can understand how quick God forgives you. It's like your child. When they make a mistake, do you hold that against them? When they say, I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sorry, Mommy. I won't do it again. You say, well, kid, you did that. Now, you know, you got to do that. No. What do? Say, well, I'm glad you understand, son. That's really good, sweetie. Let me love you. Pat you and put you back down. And they have a big grin on their face. Because they know what? You love them. You haven't held it against them. God doesn't hold our sins against us if we repent. So let's read Hebrews 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, but have not love, I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I've never been blessed with enough faith to move a mountain. I don't think I can move a chair. But he's saying if you have all faith and can move a mountain, but you don't have love, you have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. That can be said because God knows what love is, total love. And He has shown it to you and me. And that's why we're here today. On the Sabbath day, rejoicing and being thankful. Here we have a place to come to even now during everything that's been going on. We have a place that we can come to. Sorry, our brethren out there who can't come. But you know, it is nice to be able to get together to be family. And I know you all would love to be here. And we'd love to have you here. And we pray God will heal you. And it will be together. And no matter what happens, we will all be together someday. It will be. Love suffers long. Verse 4. And is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. In my margin there, I guess I wanted to start reading these. Puffed up means what? Arrogant. That's what it has in the middle of my finger. It says arrogant. You don't think you're better than somebody else. You don't think you're better. verse 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. In other words, it's just like God. In my margin again, it says, and keeps no account of evil. And God doesn't keep count of our evilness when we repent. It's gone. He doesn't hold it against us. It doesn't mean he doesn't know we failed, but that we repented, and that's fine. As long as we don't do it again. And try not to do it again. None of us are going to be perfect, but God wants us never to give up trying. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's what we're here each Sabbath to do, is to rejoice with each other and in God's truth that He has blessed us with, the knowledge and understanding, so that we can go on through the week as we have to face this world that we see and that we're around. And if you watch the news anymore, it's definitely a sad thing to have to watch. When you see a country that was so great at one time, just half of it's one way and half of it's the other. We could almost have another civil war again. You know, but the country is totally divided. They had approximately 75 million for both people who were running for office. So half the people that voted were one way, approximately, within a few points, and half the other way. So if we don't unite, what's going to happen to our country? We're going to explode. We're going to explode. That's why I've always loved the word United Church of God. And I hope we do it. I hope we stay united. Because with that, we'll be doing God's will, not our own. And we need to pray for our men who are in charge, for our president, for our council of elders, for all those who do all the work. There's a lot of work that people do that you and I couldn't probably do. But God has called us to do something. And each of us has a talent. And each of us has a job to do. We need to make sure we do that. If it's local, whatever it is. Being friends to each other, helping one another, loving one another always, of course, so that we can be a part of God's family and understand how God feels. Because when we love someone, we can't do enough for them. Those who want to think back who are married, think how you chased that girl or how that girl chased you. You used to have Sadie Hawkins day years ago, and the girls used to be able to chase the guys. He would do anything to get that girl or boy's attention. Anything. Because you want their attention and you want to be with them. That's the way God wants you and I to feel about Him. He wants you and I to feel that way about Him. To study, to pray, to look to Him, to read His Word. And not only just read it, but absorb it and put it in our lives. And we have to do it all the time, because if we don't, Satan is there to take it away from us, one way or another. He knows every weakness I have. He knows every weakness you have. And if you've been around for a while, you know that He'll bring your weaknesses back at you every so often to see how you react to it. If you will sort of like, that's not too bad. I haven't done that in a long time, years, you know. It's no big deal. It's just a slip. Well, I've had that happen, and guess what? A few weeks later, a month or so later, guess what? I slipped again. Before you find out, you're on a slippery slope, and you're going down. And you finally realize, hey, I'm having all these problems. Why? Because I'm on the slippery slope, and I got to come back up the slope and get back to where I was at and close to God, my Father. He is our only hope. And He has called us to be a part of Him. because he loves us. Verse 7 says, you bear all things, you believe all things, hope all things, and you endure all things because you have God's strength with us through love. Love never fails. Never. Never fails. Those who have had bad sicknesses, those who have had people get hurt in wrecks, guess what happens? You rally around them. And that's what we're doing with our brothers and sisters. We're to rally around each other as God's people. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, which is complete, when that is complete, which is what perfect is, has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. We've had children. We've been around children. People grow up. It's amazing how you watch that young child from the time they were just a little toddler running around and just having a great time and no cares. And all of a sudden you see them grow up and, whoa, that's a young lady now. That's a young man now. They have really grown. They know a lot. You know, look what they can do. When it's that little age, I didn't think they'd ever grow up to be anything, no. You know, but you know, you see your own children grow up. And as God sees us grow up, he's proud of us. Do you understand that? When we listen and we obey and do God's will and we change, he is so proud of each of us. Just as we are of our physical children. When they grow up and become something and do things right, what can you do but sit back and say, oh God, thank you. Love my children. They have become so good. Or if they have problems, you're praying for them. That they'll grow up. I look on my life in a way where I came from a broken home. Had an aunt and an uncle who raised me as their own child. But you know what? I knew my real father, and that's where my love was at. Even though my aunt and uncle were great to me, don't get me wrong, and I loved them. But if it came down to them and my father had been the one I'd have went with every time. You know? It's just the way it is. We're family. God is our father. He is always going to be there, and he is always going to take care of us. And he wants nothing but good for us. So when we study, when we pray, when we change, when we repent, God is there just smiling from ear to ear, I'm sure. Because I know I do. If my children do something good or see someone do something really good here and something really good happens to them, you're so happy for them. And the reason I can understand some other people's families, since mine broke up, my mother was an alcoholic. I am so glad she never got me. My dad got me. Now, I live with other people, but you know, anyone's had an alcoholic in their family, that's their God. And they'll do anything for a drink, just like a druggie will do anything to get another fix. I know a young man, he said that he got up to go to school. And he walked across two drunks laying on the floor to get to school. He had to dress himself, feed himself, and everything else. I can't imagine having to do that. I hope none of you have either. Maybe some have. I'm sure there's some in the world who's listening. Many have been blessed. A lot of times we take blessings for granted and the love that's shown unto us. But we shouldn't. We should always be thankful. And that's why we should be thankful to God every day that He has opened our minds to understand there is a better world coming. The God of love is going to be in charge in His Son, Jesus Christ. We will not be able to understand the difference in the world we're in today. Because everyone will be full of love. What a beautiful place that will be. And you know, when we see a child grow up and they see themselves grow up, I think sometimes children are amazed at what they can do. Because they've always looked up to you, the adults. But we adults are always amazed at what they do and how they grow, how they mature. And we're so proud of them. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. When you look at yourself in a mirror, you look face to face. We take a look at ourselves. Is it what we want God to see? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I always am known. And verse 13 again says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Jesus Christ gave His life, and He is our rock. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's one of my favorite verses. I used it all the time when I was in the service and I just come into church. And verse 13 says, and no temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And what that means is you'll be able to endure it. God doesn't want any of us to fail. If we're trying, He wants you and I to finish and go through the temptation or trial we're going through and overcome it, that we build His godly character. In the same chapter, I want to read verse 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We go right sometimes before Passover and all that, showing how they were baptized and everything. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. We also have done that. We also have done that. And because we have, we're able to be forgiven of our sins when we go to the Passover. For Christ takes away all of our sins. If we repent. As Mr. Barker brought out, Passover, and that isn't that far away. It's the end of March. Hard to believe. We're talking less than 12 weeks, probably right around 12 weeks. Isn't it great that God reminds us every year that we need Passover? Because, you know, sometimes we forget or even don't understand sometimes that we sin. But during this time, we're to start thinking and looking at ourselves, look in that mirror, look at ourselves, and hopefully the list that we have this year won't be as large as the list was last year. And we come before God repenting that He may forgive and cleanse all of our sins and be forgotten. So when we realize the love of our God, we see nothing but greatness that He has for you and me. We're going to be a part of His family. And what He's going to do with all these stars and all these planets, we're going to have something to do with it, but we have no idea what. We have no idea what He has in plan. God has a plan. We're right at the beginning of His plan. We're not the end of it. We're at the beginning, and we're going to help Him and be a part of His family, working as a family, working together, and doing what God wants us to do. You talk about opportunity. You and I have the opportunity, as people say, that's an opportunity of a lifetime. Don't screw it up. I'm sure we've all screwed up things in our lives at times. But we don't want to screw this up. We want to repent. We want to change. We want to grow. And we want to be with God for eternity. Now I want you to turn with me to Galatians 5. And guess what? Boy, we've heard this many times. But I want to go to verse 1 in Galatians 5 to begin with. First verse in Galatians 5:1 is, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Free from sins, what it amounts to. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage, which is sin in our lives. Now, in my margin, again, I'm going to tell you what it says about stand. For freedom Christ has made us free, stand fast, therefore, and in the liberty. In verse 12, if you go down to verse 12. Well, yeah. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. You know what cut themselves off means in my margin? It means mutilate themselves. Mutilate themselves. That's pretty harsh. That's what God wished they would be done to them. They would mutilate themselves so that they would not be a problem to us. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. After that, in verse 19 through 21, you see all Satan's things that he will do to each of us if we allow it. How we can sin and be taken in. And you know why Satan wants you to sin and me to sin? It's all his vanity. Because he wanted to be God, and he's not ever going to be a God. God is going to remove him, and how thankful we will be. But he's going to do a lot of damage. And I hate to tell you, that damage is coming. And we better be ready. We better have the love and grow in the love. We better unite and be the united church of God and a united family, loving one another, caring for one another. For all words are true in this book. And he says it's coming. We don't know exactly when, but what we've seen, a weird year. We have seen where countries completely shut down. Has anybody in their lifetime? I've been around for 70 some years. I've never ever seen a country shut down for any disease. But the whole world shut down. It wasn't just the United States. It's like common sense went out the door. We've had the flu around for I don't know how many years. You know, we've had other diseases around, but you never saw a country shut down. But the whole world shut down. And they're still shutting down. 10 months later, they're still wanting to shut down. The world is being ruled by people who want to control the world. And that's why they want to shut it down, so they can overtake all of us. See how much we will do without resisting. It's a power play. It's Satan's power play. A way he's found a way that he could manipulate men. Think about it. Manipulate men. And he will never stop. For he knows he's on his last ditch. He knows that Christ is returning. He knows everything. Remember back in Matthew 4, he quoted scripture to Christ. He just didn't quote it all. He stopped. But if you didn't know God's word, you say, well, yeah, you know, God has given you and I his word. Please, we need to make sure we treasure this. Because, you know, I know it sounds far-fetched because we've never had anything like it. But it's coming probably, or someday, they're going to come and take our Bibles. Well, I don't know when, but I guarantee you, as you see what has been happening in the world today, they're after religion. Because as long as religion, people unite. They have a calling. They have a reason to live. They have a reason to go on, and they know how to handle it. That's what God has given you and me. It doesn't seem possible, I know. But they did it back years and years ago over in Europe. They tried to take all of the word. So do you not think Satan will try and do that again? You betcha. You know, did you ever think, why did the Israelites ever sin? They had, you know, daylight. They had the cloud at night, they had light. But yet, they still sinned. But you know, they didn't have the Word of God before them every day that we can study, we can read, and be close to God. They heard it once a week probably. And how much do you remember when you go home from church from a sermon or anything else? You'll remain, what, 20, 25%? Maybe 30? But if you read your notes again, you say, oh, yeah, right, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. That's why you take notes. That's why we should review our notes. Because we need them. We need God's Word. We need to be thankful we have God's Word. That's why we need to study it while we can. I'm going to go to verse 22. Ooh, I better get a move on. let's read what the fruit of God's Spirit is. Number one thing, love. Love. Now let's put that in perspective. If you have love, you have joy. If you don't have love, you can't have joy. Not a lasting joy. You have peace because of love. Because you can learn to forgive people. You can erase it so it doesn't bother you. You have peace of mind. The world out there right now, people are so scared. They're so feared for so many things. And the media and that just keep it up because they love it. The doctors and them, they love it. These people have power they never had before. They're relishing in it. You listen to everything they say. How many times do they change the goalpost? A lot of times. How much do they really know? I don't know. Don't get me wrong. There is this virus. I'm not trying to say there isn't that. But they don't really know how to handle it. They're playing the game. They're just going along with it, changing the rules as it goes. So people aren't having peace in their lives. People have been bound up in homes. I can't imagine living in New York. You who are New Yorkers, I feel for you. Because I know a lot of you live in these little places in the big city. You don't have a balcony, and they made it so you couldn't get out. I can't imagine being in a, say, room half this size, and you've lived there for 6 months, and you're not allowed out. I can't imagine that. Well, I talked about Richard Markin last week in announcements. Can you imagine being in a hole, a small area, with nothing but one little opening to the main area? And you're stuck in there for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 100 days. You and I can't even imagine that. And I'm thankful that none of us have had to imagine it. That's why we ask for prayers for those who are facing stuff like that. We've been so blessed here in the United States. Some of our brethren throughout the world may have had more problems. They've had a lot more problems than we've had. We've had so many freedoms that we take for granted. We have the peace that they wish they had. And we may be losing ours as a country. We shouldn't lose ours. We should have the peace of God's love in us that we can handle. And we will be able to handle it. Because His love is in us and our love is for Him. Long suffering. If you have love, you and I can long suffer with other people. Their problems. We can help. We can give. We can serve. Long suffering in our own cases sometimes. Things we have to go through. But we have a family. God is a family, and we are part of that family. As you see people throughout the country, Mr. Barker sends out people who are sick and need, and the cards they receive, how encouraged they are. Because they may be out in the middle of a place where they only have maybe 15, 20 people that they're able to meet when things are good. And all of a sudden, they get hundreds of letters maybe of people they've never heard of or anything else. But they're saying, you're in my prayers. I love you. I pray God heals you. I pray that out, whatever you may be putting in your letters. That's long-suffering with other people. That's caring and loving other people. And that's the reason the first fruit of God is love. Because that's what love is. All these things that He has given is from love. Kindness. It's from love. It's caring about someone else. You know, if you open a door for someone going to the store anymore, they're almost surprised. Because this world is so me. What I can get, what I can do. I hope that we're one of these. That we're exhibiting the love that God has showed you and I and telling us we have to grow in this type of love. For everyone. For each other, but for everyone. Goodness. What does goodness mean to you? Goodness is doing for someone that needs help. Goodness is praying for people. Goodness is for helping people. Goodness is drawing the family together. Faithfulness. Faithfulness has been faithful to God, our Creator, and faithful to each other. That's from love. God is telling us all His traits, and we know God is love. That's the first thing He says, God is love. We need God's love. You need it, I need it. We need it every day. Because you see, every day that we aren't trying to be more like God, we're allowing a door to open up for Satan. We need to be exhibiting God's traits at all times. And it's not easy. We're all human. But there again, all we got to do is say I'm sorry and try harder. Ask God forgiveness and try harder. Develop and grow in love more and more every day. Gentleness. You know, don't judge. Don't judge people. Don't judge. Be gentle. They have a problem. Be loving. Listen. They need help. Help them. Don't judge them. You've never been in their shoes, maybe. I've never been hungry where I didn't have any food at all. You know, some people have. Like the one boy I talked about, can you imagine waking up in the morning and going to school as a young person, say 10, 12 years old, 11 years old, 8 years old, and walking across two drunks to get to the store and trying to see if you have anything in the refrigerator or anything to eat? I never had that. I'm thankful for that. But I should certainly be willing to be long-suffering to someone who has and needs to have help, have kindness, have gentleness. Self-control. If we have total love for our God, we will to have self-control. Because God will be so much in our life that when we sin, we will immediately get rid of it. I know none of us are at this point. We're human. But that's the point we need to be working for. Because it says, against such there is no law. There is no law against any of these things. So if we have this love, and we are to have it, may we use it. May we grow in it. And may we develop and become the sons and daughters of the living God and be in His divine kingdom when He returns. We have to have faith, hope, and love. Our God must be the center of our lives. If He isn't, we will definitely fall short. That's the one thing we do understand. Because you see, anytime He isn't there, Satan will have someone there trying to take us away from Him. On our own, we cannot do it. If you don't believe it, before you came into God's church, how many times did you fail? How many times did you ever care? It was all about me. What I want, what I get. I've been blessed. Very blessed. I've been blessed that God called me when I was about 18 or 19 years old. And you know, I've been blessed every day since. Many times I've screwed up, and I'm sure you have too. But my God blessed me with a wonderful wife, children, and a family. But I've had a family since 1968. And that's been the Church of God. I was a young man coming in. And thankfully I've changed a little bit, I think. Because of what Mrs. McLaughlin said to me. After about 8 or 10 years in church, she says, I didn't think you'd ever be in God's church. You were so vain. Whew. I said, oh, come on, Vina. And she says, no, Dave. I said, oh, come on, Vina. But she was right. I was. I was cocky. Probably still got part of that stuff with me. I keep fighting every day, probably. You know, and Satan knows that. Satan knows every weak point I had before I was called. And he knows the weak points I've had since. And he keeps poking at me as same as he will poke at you, trying to get you to fall back in to the sins that you came out of. We have to be smart. We have to be close to our God. We have to love our God and repent immediately. Because you and I have a place in God's kingdom. Christ said He went, what? To prepare a place for those in God's kingdom. He has a place for you and me. It's hard to believe. It's hard to think that far ahead. That on that door over there could say, Dave Hemsley. On that door around the corner could say, you know, Eric Jens. No one else can take that place, but we can give it up. We do not want to give it up. Never give up the place that Christ has made for you and me. He said He has gone to prepare a place for us if we finish the race. And you run a race to win. Our race is still on. It will be till the day we die. But let's truly, as the old guy would say, wallow in the love that God has for us. Think of God every time that we do something right, Him putting His arm around you and saying, that's a good boy. That's a good girl. You did a good job. Glad you overcame that. Glad you kicked Satan away at that time. Glad you did it so quickly. Glad you saw it so quickly. He smiles every time we kick Satan in the face. I'm sure He smiles every time. I hope that each of us stay close to God in our lives forever. That's what God has called you and me to do. He's called you and me to be in that kingdom. We have a talent. We may not know what it is at this time, but we have a talent that God is going to use in us. And He wants us to be there to use it because He called us to take care of that, whatever it is He has for us. So as we rejoice with the rest of the day of God's Sabbath day with each other, may our love for each other and may our Holy Spirit become more like God every day, that we will not fail and that we will study and pray and stay close, that we realize that Jesus Christ, when He gave His life, when God asked Christ to give His life for us, we fulfilled the calling He gave us.